Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst at the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Stephen Antoni, the CEO for Energy Fuels Incorporated. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Their ticker symbol is EFR. Thanks for joining us today there, Stephen.
Yeah, happy to be here, Juan.
Great. Now, starting off, give us a brief history and overview of Energy Fuels, Inc. for some of our listeners here who are new to your story.
Certainly. Our company took its name from a predecessor company in the 80s called Energy Fuels Nuclear. It was a highly regarded uranium producer, one of the largest in the United States, domestic U.S., producing some 5 million pounds a year of U308 fuel to the nuclear power industry. Now, we, with the upsurge of the market, which started to move in 2003, 2004, the original CEO, George Glazier, reestablished the company in December of 2005, took the company to Toronto for a funding base in February of 2006, and we subsequently marketed the company and raised an additional $31+ million in December of 2006. We then embarked, and we raised this on a series of property positions in our portfolio in a historical uranium-producing district called the Colorado Plateau / Yervan Mineral Belt in western Colorado and eastern Utah. Very prolific region, which was really the home to the founding production for the modern nuclear power fleet currently in the United States. So we have since 2006 and 2007 made a decision to build the first new mill in over 30 years in the area to process the ore from a series of mines that we've put together. We have two major mine positions that are fully permitted and ready to produce as soon as our mill is able to be built and come online. Now, this new mill license has gone through an arduous 2.5 to 3 year process of approval, and we're just on the cusp of getting that approval by the regulators in January of 2011. And I might add that this is a prescriptive timeline. It's not subject to undetermined decision making because the state's required to give us a decision on that time. So we look forward to a good 2011 with the current market rising up based on, the market demands in the world. We think we're well situated timing-wise to come online with new production in the western U.S.
Certainly. And so talk to us a little bit about some of the company's recent acquisition. You just recently acquired the Yervan Mineral Belt from along with one of your JV partners.
Well, we actually acquired property positions. As I said, we have two major property positions that boast substantial resource capable of supporting a single mine, and the characteristic of the district is to piece together smaller properties into what we call logical mining units, and the recent activity acquisition-wise is we're putting together that third and fourth unit. We're dealing with some of the companies that came into the market early on in 2006 and 2007, especially when the market took a meteoric rise, rising to $138 a pound peak. Currently, that price is around $62 a pound on the spot. And these companies, were in the market to try to take advantage of the higher uranium price. But since then, most of their properties have become stranded assets, and we're piecing together those assets to our benefit, since we will be the only company with a new mill facility in the district again in over 30 years.
Well, certainly. And then as far as the way that the company operates within the sector, are alliances and joint ventures and strategic partnerships an important part of your business model?
Well, again, we don't have a lot of joint ventures. We try to do the deals on our own. We are looking for a strategic partner, but that is to help support the CapEx requirement for the mill. Now, the joint venture partners we do have, and we have a good relationship with a company called Royal Resources out of Australia. They are a joint venture partner in what we call highly risky pure exploration plays, more near development and production plays. We really only have one partner in that regard on one property. But all the other properties are pretty much our standalone properties, and that's the Whirlwind Mine and the Energy Queen Mine. And the Pinyon Ridge Mill is all ours up to this point.
Well, good. And talk a little bit about some of the trends in the uranium sector and how well positioned the as well as on the vanadium sector, and how well positioned the company is to capitalize on that.
Well, as you mentioned, Juan, vanadium is an important part of our product mix. We operate in one of the only areas, the only area known to geologists in the world to co-host vanadium and uranium together. Vanadium gives us a substantial value-add credit to our cost of production, allowing us to be very competitive in the current marketplace. Vanadium, as you know, is touted to be a possible component in a new generation of batteries servicing the renewable energy industry. Now, I'll speak to the western U.S. where we operate. It was home to major producers, the United States being the leader in the 50s through the 70s of uranium production as we built out our 104 reactor fleet, which is the current size of the reactor fleet today, requiring some 45 million pounds a year just to service the U.S. nuclear power industry. That's not to say all the press on the expansion worldwide, of course, China being the big growth area for nuclear power worldwide, along with India. But a host of other countries certainly are buying into the nuclear power alternative as part of the overall energy supply mix.
Well, good. And so what makes the company unique from some of your the other players in the sector?
Well, in our sector, meaning the western U.S., number one, we will have the newest conventional uranium mill built in the United States. There is only one other mill operating, and that's in southern Utah. The district can support multiples of capacity of that current mill. That's why we stepped into the mill design and construction plan, which is a core to our business model. You could say we're probably more of a mill story than a mining story, insofar as there's plenty of uranium out there, but there was no outlet to monetize it, which is what we're providing to the marketplace. And again, we're a conventional producer. And don't mistake us with ISR, which is a lot of the solution mining companies, which are, there's a number more than there are conventional.
Certainly, and perhaps you could walk us through your background experience, Stephen, and talk a little bit about the strength of the management team over at Energy Fuels.
That, the management team, I'm proud to say, I think is one of our most valuable assets. We put this team together, number one, with individuals with experience in the industry. And for those of your investors that would know, the industry had been depressed in kind of an hiatus position for over 20 years with depressed prices. It started to come out of that in the early 2000s. When we put the company together, we reached out to individuals from the old Energy Fuels Nuclear, which I previously mentioned was the most prolific producer in the 1980s of the nuclear fuel. My background is engineering, metallurgical engineering, Colorado School of Mines graduate with an MBA out of the University of Denver. I've been in the mining business my whole life. Our management team, Dick White, specifically VP of Exploration, responsible for putting together these property packages, is a 30-year veteran of the mining, uranium mining industry specific to our area. I feel he has no equal in knowledge of the area. Don Pillmore, our other Exploration Senior VP, works out of Arizona in the Northern Arizona District, which is a pure exploration play for the company. But Don's also worked extensively in the Colorado Plateau Uravan Mineral Belt. We have Jeff Vigil as our CFO, veteran, also had energy fuels nuclear past experience and CFO experience with a number of public companies. And Gary Steele's our marketing IR individual, and Gary is also a School of Mines mineral economist graduate. And rounding out that, you know, we've got Frank Faudis, who's a veteran permitting engineer who's been with us from the start. He is the real focus of the gaining the permit approval with the regulators. So we have a strong team there. We did have a number of field personnel because we do have assets to manage in the field. Getting these licenses require a number of hours of environmental oversight in the field. And we have about three or four people in the field that manage our assets.
Certainly. And so what are some of the goals and milestones that the team is hoping to accomplish here over the course of the next year?
Well, without a doubt, full permit approval and final positive decision on the mill license, which will come in the first quarter of next year, is the major milestone. Once that's in place, you know, we can demonstrate a clear path to monetization from resources in the ground through mining, through milling, and into the marketplace. But to get there, you know, we'll have a final decision in the first quarter. Then we, of course, have to line up additional capital funding to build this facility, which will require, you know, in the range of $170 million.
Certainly. And when it comes to investors and the financial community, do you believe that the energy fuel story, your message, and the company's full upside are completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
Not at all. I mean, that's our big challenge, is to get our story told and out in the marketplace. We feel those that have taken the time, you know, to allow us to present or research us or contact us will certainly find out, you know, that we fare well within the competitive market of new producers coming online.
Well, good. And so once again, joining us today is Stephen Anthony, the CEO for Energy Fuels Incorporated. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Their ticker symbol is EFR. It is currently trading at 69 cents a share. The market cap is north of $67 million. And before we conclude, Stephen, to recap some of your key points here, why do you believe that investors should consider Energy Fuels, Inc. as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, we believe we're a low-risk producer based on about four major metrics. We're in a proven historical district. There's not a resource risk. We have arguably higher grades than most other areas in the world. We feel, we can compete. We're in the U.S. The U.S. production, for those of you that don't know, we have 104 nuclear reactors that supply 20% of the electrical demand in the United States. The fuel for those reactors, 95% of it comes from offshore places that you know, might be questionable as to long-term political risks, such as Central Asia, Kazakhstan being a major producer, Africa another. So if the U.S. production has a place at the overall world supply table, we expect to have a chair at that table. And U.S. utilities, again, it's a matter of supply and demand, basic economics. They did look to the U.S. to supply their needs for 30 years, three decades, turned away as the market grew oversupplied with excess inventory. Now that that inventory is worked off, we feel the U.S. will have another shot at it. So that's why, again, U.S. production, competitive production, low-risk production, and it's just simply a matter of cost then.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Stephen, and update our investors on energy fuels.
Juan, thank you very much.